serve the Lord. And we've seen some pictures of the church. You know, the church is the body of Christ. His hands, his feet, you know, all those things. The church is the temple of God. He lives in us. The church is the family of God. And so that makes us brothers and sisters. And we're stuck with each other. The church is the bride of Christ, and he loves us in a mighty way. And then last week we talked about how the church is the army of God, and we are aware of a real enemy. We are equipped for spiritual battle, and we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And now today I want to kind of shift gears just a little bit, still talking about the church, but answer the question, why does the church exist? What does God have planned for us? And so we've seen some pictures of the church. Now let's talk about the purpose of the church. And we'll see this in Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse 18. And we'll see that one of the primary purposes of the church is to reach the lost. All right, Matthew 28, if you would please stand, and I'll read just a few verses here. 18, it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" All right, you may be seated. Simply put, God's heart is for lost people. God cares about lost people. And so if we are to be more like Christ, if we're going to follow him, we also need to have a heart for the lost. That's where God's heart is. So our heart needs to be there as well. You know, somebody asked the question, what is 750,000 miles long? It could wrap itself around the earth 30 times. And it grows an additional 20 miles longer with each passing day. The answer is the people on earth who do not know Jesus. There is a world filled with people who need Jesus. Rick Warren says, as long as there's one person in driving distance of our church who doesn't know the Lord, we want to grow. And so, you know, we talk occasionally about church growth, and it's not just because we want a big, fancy church. That's not it. It's because there's lost people who need Jesus. And if we're going to win them, that means we're going to grow. And so we want to grow because we want to win lost people. Nothing is more important than reaching people for the Lord. Yet it is so it's so easy to be distracted from our purpose. We need to stay focused on reaching one more for Jesus. Bill Hybels says, we have never locked eyes with someone that did not matter to God. Every person matters to God. And here is really the essence of the truth. God wants everyone to be saved. That's God's desire, that everyone would be saved. In fact, he says basically that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's the deal. Sometimes people wonder, you know, Jesus said he was coming back, and man, that's been a long time ago. Why is he taking so long? Well, this answers it right here, because he wants everyone to get saved. And so he's willing to wait a little longer because more people could get saved. And we also believe that Jesus is the only way. Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Jesus is the only way. In fact, John 14:6, Jesus said that, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. And at the end of every gospel, Jesus commissions his followers to spread the good news. What's the purpose of the church? We need to reach the lost. That's God's heart. And so we need to, number one, go with good news. In Mark 16, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. We go with good news and we preach. You know, preaching isn't just for the pastor. Preaching's for every Christian. You preach. Now, that doesn't mean you stand up in front of an audience and give a sermon every week, but you talk about Jesus. That's preaching. And you tell people about Jesus, we often call this witnessing for Christ. And to be a witness is a person who testifies to what he has seen or heard. Think about a courtroom, and there's a witness that saw something, and they're telling what they saw or what they experienced. That's the same for us. We simply tell what we know about Jesus, what he's done in our lives, so we are a witness for him. Dan Green says that witnessing is not a spare time occupation or a once a week activity. It must be a quality of life. So you really don't go witnessing, you are a witness. A Christian is a living sermon. Okay? Bill Fay is very well known for outreach and reaching the lost. And he says, often I hear my brothers and sisters say they want revival, in which God moves and changes the hearts of individuals, families, communities, and nations. But I wonder, do we expect God to make the first move? If a farmer has broken no ground or sown no seeds, would he be justified in blaming God because he has no harvest? Revival will not come unless we sow the seeds of the good news of Jesus Christ. I want revival. Part of it is we've got to reach out to the lost. We've got to go with good news. In John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. You have a mission. You have been sent by God to reach this lost world. So go with good news. And then simply go here, there, and everywhere. So I go with good news. Where do I go? Everywhere. Okay. In fact, some have said that really almost a better way to say that is instead of go and make disciples, it's as you go, make disciples. And that's a pretty reasonable understanding of the scripture that just simply wherever we go, we should be reaching out to lost people. Go here, there, and everywhere. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said, you will be poor when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. If you know anything about geography in the Middle East, he's kind of building a bigger spiral. It starts in your hometown, and then just gradually more and more, and we reach out everywhere. Somebody said there are only two kinds of Christians in the world. Only two kinds. Those who talk about the lost, and those who talk to the lost. There's a caution there for us. Sometimes we get a little upset about the way things are going in our society, and so we talk about the lost. We need to talk to the lost. Here's the truth. There are some who will never know Christ unless you introduce him to them. Feel the weight of that. Somebody else put it a little clever way. Said the tact need for evangelism is contact. You got to reach out and share the good news with lost people. Here Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. All nations, that's literally ethnic groups, it's people groups, people who don't know Jesus. Everybody needs to know Jesus. Everybody. God didn't call us to hide from the world. He called us to go into the world, and we cannot make disciples from a distance. You've got to get in there, hands-on with people, to lead them to Christ and help them to become a disciple or a follower of Jesus. Somebody else said, if we're more concerned about the comforts of having our own needs met, then we've missed the point of our calling and of our salvation. It's another good warning for us. Now, most of the rest of the sermon, I'm going to be giving you some very practical ideas of how you can reach lost people. And so this might be a good time to get out a pen and paper and jot some things down. Here's some practical suggestions. Here, first of all, it's a mindset. Realize that unsaved people are not the enemy. We talked about being the army of God last week, and there's a real enemy, but it's not unsaved people that are the enemy. Okay? Unsaved people are not the enemy. Actually, they are prisoners of the enemy. And we're on a rescue mission to set them free. Then pray regularly and by name for lost or unchurched people that you know. You know any unsaved people? And pray for them, and actually by name. Lord, I'm praying for my neighbor Cody, that you get a hold of his heart and draw him closer to you. He'd come to a point of salvation. Something like that. Okay, Bill Fay suggests, and he says, never ignore the coincidence of the people God has placed in your life. In fact, Acts 17 basically says this. He says that God determined the time set for them in the exact places where they should live. And God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. It's not a mistake that your neighbors are your neighbors. It's not a mistake. God placed them right there, and he placed you right next to them so you can reach out to them. Here's Bill Fay again. He's great at this stuff. He simply says, introduce yourself to your neighbors. Okay? And we actually have to say that nowadays, because that's not just taken for granted like it was in the old days. In the old days, everybody knew their neighbors, and they'd sit and talk across the fence. But nowadays, hey, people, introduce yourself to your neighbors. Okay? Simple. Here's another thought. Then let them know that you pray and ask them if there's anything you can pray for in their life. And then follow up later. Here's some more. Use your hobby, your sports activity, your health center, or your club to build some relationships. Organize a block party and have a barbecue. Do kind deeds, such as clear your neighbor's driveway in the winter. What? Yeah, why not? You're trying to build a connection with somebody so that you can tell them about Jesus. When someone is suffering, listen, send a card of encouragement, or take them a meal, or whatever. Reach out to people. And then once you've started having some conversation with people, then Bill Fay gives us five share Jesus questions. So some people wonder, well, how do I even break the ice? Well, he opens with this. Do you have any kind of spiritual beliefs? You could ask somebody if you just get into a conversation with them. Or, to you, who is Jesus Christ? Or here's a good one. Do you think heaven or hell? A lot of people don't even know how to answer that. But you might get them thinking. And then, if you died, where would you go? And if you think you're going to heaven, why do you think you're going there? And then, if what you're believing is not true, would you want to know? Just some practical ideas of how you could share the gospel with people. Another one was on your seat today. The You're Invited cards. Those little cards basically just says, what does a God-centered, Christ-exalting church with real people look like? Come find out. You're invited. And then it's got the time of our service on our website. Tells a little bit about us. That's an easy way just to hand somebody a card and say, hey, you're invited sometime. And guess what? Our Christmas program's only a month away. And you've heard of Christers, right? Christers? People who are Christian, but they really only come at Christmas or Easter. Christers, okay? So Christmas program is an ideal time to maybe give them that little business card and say, hey, come check out our Christmas program on December 17th. You don't have to wait for that. You could just give it to them this week and invite them to come to church, because we've got a good church, right? God is in Open Bible Church. Right? Okay? And I believe, are there more of those out at the information center? So if you'd like to take a stack of them with you, and just as you interact with people, just give them a card. Okay? All right. Here's another way to witness to people, and probably my favorite of all time, your personal testimony. Okay? In John 9:25, there was a man that people were questioning him about Jesus, and this guy says, well, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know, but one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Okay, that's his testimony. He didn't have to defend theologically all of his stuff. And sometimes when we talk about evangelism and witnessing and reaching out, people get all concerned that I can't answer all the questions. You know, I'm not theologically ready for all of that. Well, you don't have to be. Did Jesus do something in your life? That's all you have to know. Well, Jesus did something in my life. Let me tell you what he did in my life. Now, I don't really have all the answers for all those theological questions, but I can tell you what Jesus did for me. Nobody can argue with that. That's why it's my favorite one. Okay? And then here's how, in a nutshell, how your testimony works. It's ABC. Before I was a Christian, how I became a Christian, and now that I am a Christian. There's three steps to a personal testimony. Everybody has a history, right? Okay? And if you're a Christian, there was a time in your life when you came to Christ, right? And then life is somewhat different since then, right? Or it's supposed to be anyway. So that's your testimony. In Acts chapter 26, you see Paul is giving his testimony before King Agrippa, and he starts with before, and he says, I lived as a Pharisee. And then he says how he came to Christ, I saw a light from heaven. And then he says, since then, I was not disobedient to the vision, and I've had God's help to this very day. Before I was a Christian, how I became a Christian, since I've been a Christian. Everybody has that story. And nobody can argue with it because it's your story. I like it. Okay? All right. Here's another practical one. If somebody is at a point where they're perhaps getting ready and they're serious about God and they want to get right with God, you can talk about the Romans road to salvation. For some of you, this is old hat, but for others, this might be a practical, real good thing to know. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's a fundamental truth that everybody needs to know. Romans 6:23a says, the wages of sin is death. And then 6:23b says, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we're kind of building it up here. Everybody sins. There's a penalty for sin. But God has given us a gift so we can get out of the penalty. And then Romans 10, 9, and 10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. That's basically 1, 2, 3, 4, good for you. Has anybody used that one before? Yeah, I definitely have. Another one that some people prefer, just a method of leading somebody to the Lord, is the you must be born again message. You find this in John chapter 3. Some people will actually literally call it John 3 evangelism. Okay? In John 3 verse 3, it says, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And you all probably know John 3:16. Well, it kind of got jumbled up there because everybody was on a little different pace. But John 3 basically says you need to get born again. Well, how do you get born again? By receiving Jesus. That's it. Simple. Okay? You want another real practical one? ABC. ABC is salvation. Admit you are a sinner in need of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Believe that Jesus died to pay the penalty for your sins. And then confess Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. Is that me? Mine? That was the Lord. He's putting an exclamation point on this sermon. Have you ever been, I remember in the early days when I was very new to ministry, there was a guy that, ready to come to Christ, and quite frankly, I didn't really know how to get him there. pray with him, but I, what do you do, you know? And so I needed some of this stuff to give me some practical, here's how you walk through it. And so I had to call another guy over, and he did the Romans Road. And I thought, oh, that's good. I should use that next time, you know? And different methods work for different people, so that's why I'm giving you a variety of things, A, B, C here. And then here's another one I came across recently, the Salvation Poem. If somebody's really ready and they want to receive Jesus, you can just lead them in this little prayer, and it's put in a poetic form. And it says, Jesus, you died upon a cross and rose again to save the lost. Forgive me now of all my sin. Come be my Savior, Lord, and friend. Change my life and make it new, and help me, Lord, to live for you. Isn't that good? It covers all the basics, and it's kind of a rhyme that people could just say and come to Jesus. In fact, I just want to pause right here, and I wonder if there's anybody who would like to come to Jesus today. I've been talking primarily to people who are already Christians, but maybe there's somebody in the house who has not yet received Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I urge you, come to Jesus. And can I get a witness from people who have a personal testimony? Is it worth it to come to Jesus? Okay. So is there anybody here who would say, I'm interested in that. I'd like to pray with you. Anybody? God work on your hearts a little bit more. That's all right. If you want to talk to me privately later, that'd be fine too. And so, here we go. Go where you've never gone before. Right next door. Okay? And think of yourself as a missionary to Boone. Again, who's the preacher? Yeah, we all are. Who's the missionary then? That would be us too. And so you are a missionary to right here to Boone. Remember last week we talked about being the army of God? We are the army of the Lord. And you don't judge an army by how many people come and sit in the mess hall. Instead, the impact of an army is based on how many trained soldiers are out in the field protecting, defending, or fighting the enemy. That's how you know you got a good army, because they're actually doing something. Church, we're the army of God. And one of the ways we fight the enemy is by reaching the lost. We're rescuing POWs. Let me just ask you this. If you're a Christian, glad somebody shared the good news with you. Somebody had to tell you, right? And most of us would say, I'm happy for that. Now, think about the impact of just winning just one person to Jesus. Remember the name Mr. Kimball. Mr. Kimball, in 1858, led a Boston shoe clerk to give his life to Christ. The clerk, Dwight L. Moody, became an evangelist. In England, in 1879, he awakened evangelistic zeal in the heart of Frederick B. Meyer, the pastor of a local church. F.B. Meyer, preaching to an American college campus, brought to Christ a student named J. Wilbur Chapman. Chapman, who was engaged in YMCA work, employed a former baseball player, Billy Sunday, to do evangelistic work. Billy Sunday held a revival in Charlotte, North Carolina. A group of local men were so enthusiastic afterward that they planned another evangelistic campaign, bringing Mordecai Ham to town to preach. During Ham's revival, a young man named Billy Graham heard the gospel and yielded his life to Christ. So only eternity will reveal the tremendous impact of Mr. Kimball, who invested his life in the lives of others. He led one person to the Lord, and then we see the trail of how many thousands would be impacted because of that one. So every I've seen some pretty lousy gospel presentations that people respond to. He says, I've done it myself. There have been times when I've presented the gospel so poorly that I was boring myself. But the person responded in faith. There have been other times when I've answered every objection with pinpoint accuracy, like a stealth bomber over Baghdad. And the person looks at me like I'm from Mars. And he says, kingdom expansion really is a God thing, not a human thing. Just be faithful to tell people about Jesus and his kingdom. Then the rest is up to God to take it from there. Our job is to tell. That's it. God does the rest. So ready or not, millions of Americans are conversion waiting to happen. Think about it. There are thousands of, let's call them pre-Christians, right here in our hometown. There are several dozen pre-Christians right in your neighborhood. They're right there. All you have to do is tell them. So begin now to strengthen some relationship you already have. Plan to invite that person to church someday, or perhaps for our Christmas program, like I already mentioned. It's a great opportunity since most people are thinking about church for Christmas anyway. So be intentional and share your faith. And I'm going to close with this. Some of you have probably heard it before, but it's good. So it's worth repeating. 10 little Christians standing in a line. One disliked the preacher. Then there were 9. 9 little Christians stayed up very late. One slept in on Sunday. And then there were 8. 8 little Christians on their way to heaven. One took his own road. And then there were 7. 7 little Christians chirping like some chicks. One disliked the song leader. And then there were 6. 6 little Christians seemed very much alive, but one lost his interest. And then there were 5. 5 little Christians pulling for heaven's shore, but one stopped to rest. And then there were 4. 4 little Christians busy as a bee. One got her feelings hurt. And then there were 3. 3 little Christians knew not what to do. One couldn't forgive another. And then there were 2. 2 little Christians, our rhyme is nearly done, quarreled over petty stuff. And then there was 1. 1 little Christian can't do much, 'tis true. Brought his friend to Bible study, and then there were 2. 2 earnest Christians, each one more. That doubled the number, and then there were 4. 4 sincere Christians worked early and worked late, each one another, and then there were 8. 8 splendid Christians, if they doubled as before, in just a few short weeks, we'd have 1,024. You see, God believes in multiplication. And each one of us adding one more, this church would grow, and the kingdom of God would be winning as we reach lost people and we rescue POWs from the enemy of our soul. Church, what's the reason that Jesus established the church? One of the prime reasons is to reach lost people. We are called to reach the lost. It's not just for the full-time evangelists or the full-time missionaries. It's for every Christian. We are called to reach the lost. So let's begin simply by thinking of somebody you know who's not saved. Is there somebody you know that's not saved? You got their name in your mind right now? Keep it there. Begin praying for them. Begin reaching out to them and see what God will do. And then you can use one of these tools to lead them to Jesus. And we will fulfill the purpose of the church, reaching lost people. We can do it. share the good news. Let's fulfill the purpose that he's called us to and reach lost people. All right, let's stand. Let's pray. God, help us to have a heart for lost people like your heart. Instead of being frustrated and critical, help us to be loving and reaching out and sharing the good news. Help us to see them as prisoners of the enemy instead of simply as our enemy. And help us to be faithful to share the good news. Lord, I know that you're going to give us opportunities, and so help us simply to be faithful when the opportunity arises to say something. Help us, God.